It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, good morning, everyone. The vibes are up. Yeah, the vibes are up today. It's a Friday. It's Valentine's Day. For those of you who observe, JC, the sales guy's in the office today.
I know. We got Strelitzia flowers coming.
We got flowers pulling up. We got Joe Brazil in the building. We need a round of applause for Joe Brazil. There he is. Yeah, so Joe Brazil is here producing the show. And then there's the Kings. I'm out.
Why did they do this to us?
I'm done. I'm out of optimism. I'm out of going, hey, you know what? This is a team, because you and I, same page. Hey, Wednesday night against the Pelicans, I think they win. I don't think they steamroll them. But last night, okay, this is a spot where you can really go out and just beat the hell out of a team that's going to be checked out and nothing.
No.
I'm done giving this version of the Sacramento Kings the benefit of the doubt. They have to earn it back from me.
Yeah, Kyle, I'm with you 100%. Every time you think that they've got it figured out, at least partially.
Yes.
At least, hey, you know, go out and beat bad teams. They just disappoint you. And to me, last night's game, you know, just like it feels like every single time. It's Charlie Brown and Lucy. Like,
that's it.
You're ready to go kick the ball, and she just, like, pulls the ball right away, and you go flying through the air. Ah! Like, every time, it's just like, I don't know how else to say. They just are so disappointing when it comes to, like, taking care of business. And that's who they are this year. And like, we can talk about all of the ups and downs and all the things that happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, this is who they are, and we have to accept that.
They're just mid. And I, because they're not bad. They're not what do the Wizards have now? 7 wins? Like, the Wizards are bad. Mm-hmm. The Wizards don't win games, and also you don't really see it with their roster. I think the Kings are a couple of roster tweaks away from being, like, really effective. It's just clear that this iteration of the team, this collection of players, is mid.
Mm-hmm.
Their ceiling offensively is sky high. But their inability to get a stop is in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
So it dramatically drops their ceiling and gets you to about what they are. They're about a 500 team.
That's what they're a 500 club.
And that's it. Again, I'm going to watch the rest of the games, and maybe they come out of the break. And you got the Warriors, that's a winnable game. You got the Jazz, that's a winnable game. Maybe you win those two, you're back to 3 over .500. Maybe they're playing better and they make some adjustments at the break. And okay, hey, now we feel a little better. But right now, I don't see any real path to that, because I don't think there's anything they're doing schematically that's going to change that much. You're about as good as the Pelicans based on the last couple of nights.
Mm.
One night you hit shots down the stretch, the other night you didn't. And if you're going to rely on DeMar DeRozan mid-range jumpers to win you games, you're going to win about half your games.
Well, that, and you can't get upset when he misses all of his mid-range jump shots, because you just, like, gave him positive reinforcement the previous two games.
Yep. There's going to be nights like the Minnesota game in Minnesota where the Kings scrapped out that win.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome performance from DeMar DeRozan. You get the 42 points
against Dallas.
Yep. Awesome performance from DeMar DeRozan. And then you get last night.
Yeah. Even the game before.
Whatever, 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter or whatever.
0 for 4 in the final minutes of the game.
Oof.
No, 0 for 7. Yeah, 0 for 7. In the final, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes, and the overtime session.
Oof.
And it was worse than that, man. Like, there needs to be an accountability on this team, and I don't think on the court, like, anyone knows each other well enough to feel like they can stand up and say, hey, man, you got to stop. Mm-hmm. Like, I see Malik Monk go, we're not doing that again, and he doesn't give up the pass. And he's like, no, we're not doing that again. But then, you know, late in the game, You have this crucial, crucial play late in the game, and DeRozan had missed all of these shots in a row, and Zach LaVine has the ball out on the left, and he goes to drive to the basket, and there he is. DeMar DeRozan just runs right into his space with his man because he wants the ball again after missing seven straight shots, and LaVine turns the ball over. It's fully on DeMar DeRozan. Yep. Like, hey, man, this isn't your night. Nope. Like, get out of the way. Let somebody else play. LaVine's got 32. You got Malik Monk making the play of the night again. We're going and getting a rebound and yep. getting fouled. Like, just an incredible play.
Which, what was Bruce Brown doing there?
I keep wondering the same thing again and just again.
Baffling.
I want Bruce Brown on the Sacramento Kings, but I don't know what he was doing.
Bad teams stay bad for a reason, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. But to watch, like, all of these other players have moments, to have Sabonis really just, like, catch fire in the fourth quarter. He had 13 rebounds, I think, in the fourth. Like, it was just unbelievable. Then to, like, leave it all on one guy.
It's a problem when Zach LaVine has 32 points, 10 assists, 3 steals, goes 12 of 24 from the field, and 5 of 12 from 3. That's the kind of night we've been waiting on from Zach LaVine.
Yep.
Domantas Sabonis had 28 rebounds, 22, 28, and 5. 13 offensive boards, by the way. Almost doubled up the Pelicans in offensive rebounds by himself. The Kings as a team had 21 offensive rebounds. The Kings as a team shot it 20 more times than the Pelicans did.
Yes.
They turned it over 5 more times.
In the fourth quarter, Domantas Sabonis had 13 rebounds, 8 of them defensive, 5 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter alone.
You should be winning this game. This game, especially against the Pelicans with no Zion. And you couldn't figure it out?
Yeah, disappointing, man.
I was so ready to come in today because the last couple of games I've been saying, and I mean, the first half, was it 18 assists on 21 made shots?
They started 19 out of the first 20 shots were assisted.
I mean, that's ridiculous. That's a great number.
They had 30 assists, 4 minutes left in the third quarter.
That's outrageous.
Absolutely spectacular. But you get to the fourth quarter, and the ball just stopped moving. It just got absolutely sticky.
22 assists on 26 made shots in the first half. Like, it was, I was ready to come in here, and even if it was a close win, be like, okay, hey, we're starting to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You got some tweaks to make defensively, but hey, we're starting to see it. And then it just, the wheels came off. I don't understand why the immediate down the stretch, why the offense devolves into, okay, someone's going to dribble the air out of the ball and take a tough shot.
Mm-hmm.
When has that ever been at any point when you watch any successful NBA team over the last, I don't know, basketball's changed a lot, but let's say over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those teams have been get it to one guy, they're going to dribble the air out of it and then take a tough shot, and that's going to win us a championship?
Yeah, especially to do it repeatedly. Like, there's one thing if DeMar DeRozan is cooking. And look, he had 7 points in the first part of the fourth quarter. Like, so he started to get cooking. But once you start missing, that's when you have to hand the ball off to somebody else. When you hit a bunch, but then one miss, that's okay. 2 misses, that's okay. Mm-hmm. 3rd miss in the final 4 minutes, it's like, okay, look, somebody else gets a shot. But to go on and take 4 more shots after that, and again, like, they had 30 assists through 3 quarters. I think it was even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
They end up with 5 assists in the fourth quarter and 2 assists in the overtime session. They just went away from what was working. And I know, like, there were some moments in this game where it's like, okay, this is, like, coaching growing pains as well. Like, why is Keon Ellis not on the court while you're watching CJ McCollum just go nuts? Like, what is happening?
Was insane.
You went to a too big lineup in a really strange spot, and it didn't work, and that was trouble. And again, to not do the too big lineup against two bigs seems strange to me, because that's where they really started rolling with the 3-point shot. You go two bigs, and they start launching. So it's just tough. Like, there were plenty of moments in this game where it's like, the lack of, I don't know, overall focus just like showed up late in the game. And I get it. Team's tired. 3 games, 4 nights. It's the last of a getaway game. But
none of that matters.
It doesn't matter at the end of the day, man. You're right. You look at the standings, and that one hurts as bad as any loss the entire season.
Yep.
Instead of riding a 4-game win streak in the All-Star break and going 3 games over .500 at the All-Star break, you're now 1 game over .500, and you don't have a win streak anymore.
And it's just hard to, and this isn't empirical, this is just vibes. It's hard to have optimism about them over their final, what are they, 40, 55 games in now?
Yeah.
You got 27 left?
27.
It is so difficult to look at those 27 games. I saw somebody in the chat, and I'm sorry I lost your chat, so I don't have it in front of me. But somebody in the chat was like, I got them winning 13 of their final 27.
Okay.
Like, yeah, that kind of... I have a hard time pushing back on that.
No, I do too.
Maybe they win 14. Maybe they win 12. But it's just kind of in that range, and that's really disappointing, because this roster I think is the deepest one they've had since 22, but it's also not that well constructed, and you're just kind of seeing it down the stretch of these games, and at some point. I think the big change to make is what we've talked about ad nauseum for the last 2 weeks. Keon needs to start and probably close. The fact that you had CJ McCollum just going off last night and you just had no answer for him because you can't bench DeMar and you can't bench Malik and you can't bench Zach LaVine. Like, all right, man, cool. You're going to give up 140 points a night.
Yep. Hey, man, I looked at this team. There is no way long term that it, like, and I mean, like the next year and a half, right? Because that's at least what they're under contract.
Mm-hmm.
The next year and a half to start a backcourt with Malik Monk and Zach LaVine with DeMar DeRozan at the three. There is no way to do that without giving up 125 points tonight.
Nope.
And like, in all honesty, since the trades, they're a horrific defensive team.
It's bad.
Like I looked the last 10 games before the last two, I think they were something like 120.7 defensive rating. Like they're giving up 121 per and they're 27th in the league. That's tough, man. I'm telling you, like, they're, you can't just swap out scores and think that all scores are created equal. And people can love or they can hate De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But De'Aaron Fox played at least league average defense and got you, you know, a ton of steals. Like, mm-hmm. he led the league in steals last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when he's locked in, he's an exceptional defender.
Yes.
But his baseline is solid to really good. Mm-hmm. And when he's locked in, it's great.
Yes.
Right? That's not who they have now. And there's just no way to get around it. So instead of having a great defender in Keon Ellis in the starting backcourt, you had to start Malik Monk because things spun out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of these things play into like one giant like idea that mm-hmm. that really wasn't formed properly.
Yeah, if somebody said this to me about the Kings last night, I'm not gonna put the person's name out there, but they said to me, like, they're playing fantasy basketball.
Yeah,
that's what this roster is.
2K.
It's it. And I get that putting the ball in the hoop is a big part of the game, and you want guys who can do that. I agree with that. But it's not like Keon Ellis is a negative offensively.
Nope.
And if you don't want to start him, fine. At least close with him. There's got to be a hard conversation at some point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just what it is at this point. And until they do that, they're mid. And that's what they're going to be. Because you can't bench Zach LaVine, who you just traded for, and you can't bench the future Hall of Famer, and you can't put Malik Monk back on the bench. So, hands are tied. All right, cool.
Okay.
Go be 500.
Yep.
But at least, hey, everybody's ego has been satiated.
There's just a big, big difference. You're like trying to get to 8 games over .500 when you have this one game that matters so much. Like, you're either 3 games up or you're 1 game up. And now, in the final 27, you got to make up those extra games, and it's just a brutal, brutal reality that games like this matter so much. Mm-hmm. And the Kings put themselves in this situation. This is not
1,000%.
This is like one of those games where, you know, you say, oh, with that one free throw you missed here, or that technical foul, you like, that's basically what we're like, no, you lost because you didn't do what you should have done in multiple games.
Yeah.
You put yourself in this situation. Mm-hmm. It's not one play. It's not one game. It's a series of games like this where you let yourself down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
They have backed themselves into this corner, mm-hmm. and they have not equipped themselves to get out of that corner.
Yep.
So, season's not over. There's 27 games left, but it's got something dramatic has to happen if we're going to feel better about wherever this team is headed. Also, CJ freaking McCollum, dog.
Yeah. If only he had an elite defender to throw at him.
Well, what are you going to do, you know? Back yourself into the corner.
Yep.
All right. To make matters worse, the Kings didn't get any help around the NBA last night. In fact, they got negative help. Nothing went right for them in the standings. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what Markelle Fultz might be able to do to help
mm-hmm.
with all this, and also what his signing means for Devin Carter and more Kings first half stuff. I don't know. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 13. Joe Brazil is here as well here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento Sports Leader. Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen.
Hey.
Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Brazil behind the glass. I'm Kyle. That's James. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. And Jiffy Lube wants to give you see the hoodie James is wearing? We're giving that hoodie away. It's the only way you can get it. You can't buy that hoodie.
Nope.
You can get it through this contest, though, along with a $50 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube.
That's right.
All you have to do is go to ESPN1320.com. You'll find the Jiffy Lube contest page front and center. Super easy to find. You click on that, and you're going to enter the code word bummer. Because that's what last night was.
Bummer.
Just a bummer. B-U-M-M-E-R. Bummer.
Mm-hmm.
And there you win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an Insider's hoodie.
Yeah, you enter to win.
I'm so sorry for whoever wins off of this word. Try to find a little joy in it.
I'm not.
No, man, it's like, we'll get to the scoreboard from last night, but it was just like I said, in the first half, it was close at the end of the half. But you look at the numbers and you're like, okay, this thing's trending the right way. Like, I kind of think they're going to pull away and we'll feel good going to the All-Star break. But then it was like the Kings were the team that was just cruising into the break. And the Pelicans were the team fighting for their play-in lives. I was baffled.
Yeah.
Totally baffled.
I was too.
Such a bummer.
Just like disappointed that they didn't find a way to like put the game away. Like, I don't know. You know, there are these moments in the season where you have opportunities. And this was a huge opportunity. And now you go into the break, you're tied for the 10th seed with the Warriors. You would have been a game up. You're now a game and a half behind the Mavs for the 8th seed. You would have been a half game. You would have been a game and a half behind Minnesota for the 7th seed. Like, all of these things, in the end, they matter, because trying to claw back and make up games down the stretch is very difficult, especially, I believe the Kings have the fourth most difficult remaining schedule out of all teams. It's like the Suns and then the Kings at number 4.
Yeah.
That's a tough look, and that's why games against 12-win teams matter. And I know some people are like, hey, you guys are whining, or hey, you guys, you know, this is the last game before the All-Star break, all that stuff. That doesn't matter for this team. Either you're a playoff team or you're not. And what did they miss the playoffs by last year? Like, two games?
Game, maybe two? Yeah.
Yeah, and how many times did you blow a game because you couldn't hit free throws? It was 5.
The games were there.
How many games did you lose to teams that were in the bottom 5 in the Western in the NBA standings? Like 4. Like, those are, all of these matter in the grand scheme. And, like, you want to say, okay, well, this team beat the Celtics. Yeah, you beat the Celtics, but now you lose a game like this, and it, like, makes some sense of it. And I know it's, again, people might not want to hear it, but that was a huge blow to their playoff dreams last night.
So let's talk about why.
Yeah.
Because last night, had they lost, but they got a bunch of losses around them in the standings, it would have been one thing. Alas, they did not. In fact, like every team they needed to lose won last night.
Mm-hmm.
The Dallas Mavericks played the Miami Heat. Dallas got a 118-113 win. That moves them to 30-26. They are now a full game and a half above the Kings for the number 8 seed in the Western Conference. We also got word yesterday that Daniel Gafford is out at least 6 weeks with a grade 3 MCL sprain.
Yeah, that was tough. That's some Malik Monk play.
Yeah, and that's 6 weeks, and then he's got to get like into basketball shape. So Daniel Gafford's going to be out probably a couple of months here. But Dallas is just kind of scary because they're not quite they're just not. You would expect the emotional hit of losing Anthony Davis. Well, Derek Lively first, and then trading Luka Doncic, getting Anthony Davis getting hurt, and then Daniel Gafford getting hurt to just be a gut punch that a team couldn't bounce back from, and they seem to be galvanizing around it.
Yeah. No, they do. That's, I mean, they just keep playing hard, right? That's a trick. Like, everybody's beat up at this point, mm-hmm. but when you start a lineup with Olivier Maxens-Prosper, mm-hmm. Kessler Edwards, Spencer Dinwiddie, Dante Exum, and Max Christie... That's who they started last night.
Kyrie didn't even play last night.
Kyrie didn't play, and they won.
That's nuts, dude. Dante Exum had 27? Oh, my God.
That's incredible. 11 of 13 from the field. Yeah.
Do we think that's a career high for Dante Exum?
It might be.
27's crazy.
I don't know. Klay Thompson didn't play. Kyrie Irving didn't play. PJ Washington didn't play. Anthony Davis didn't play. Derek Lively didn't play. Daniel Gafford didn't play. Dwight Powell didn't play.
At 28 was Dante Exum's career high.
And they won.
Not that, I mean, I don't know that the Heat are any good. But
well, they were 25 and 27 coming in. They're a much better team than a 12-win team.
That's a good point.
Just saying.
Yeah, super, just really impressive stuff from the Mavericks. So they are now a game and a half up on the Sacramento Kings in the standings.
All right.
The Golden State Warriors, who the Kings just gained a game on because the Warriors lost to... Dallas the night before. The Warriors went into Houston and beat Houston 105-98. Golden State had a 24-point lead that was cut to 2 in the fourth quarter. They're now tied with the Kings again, and those two teams play in the first game after the All-Star break.
Okay. Yeah, we'll that Warriors team, they're on a roller coaster ride from one quarter to the next.
They just...
Like, that is the...
That you want to talk about a mid-ass team?
Steph called them mid.
They on a game-to-game basis, they might be up 24. They might have that lead cut to 2. They might be down 24. They might blow that lead up to 30. That's what they did against the Bulls. They were down 24, I think, to the Bulls, and at one point led by 30.
It's just wild.
Just insane.
So yeah, like from one quarter to the next, you have no idea who they are.
Just zero clue.
Yep.
So I when we talked about it yesterday, it feels like, and we'll keep doing the standings watch and trying to follow along as best we can with what else is happening around the league. We'll also, you know, trying to stay on top of what the Kings are doing, but it just feels like I don't know that the Suns or the Spurs or the Blazers are going to have enough to climb back up into the top 10. So it's like, okay, you're probably safe, but also you're not quite safe enough to really feel good about it, which is why, you know, you'd need a team like maybe Golden State or Dallas to fall off, mm-hmm. and both got wins last night.
Yep. I think it's funny, DaBaby Daddy in the chat brings it up. Last night was a back-to-back for the Kings, and they were hoping their offense would carry them, and it didn't pay off. I get that sentiment, but I hate to tell you this. The team they played the first night of the back-to-back was the same exact team.
Ah, well.
Both teams were on a back-to-back. They both played against each other the night before. Man. We can't like sugarcoat it and say, hey, well, it was a back-to-back. The three games in four nights, I guarantee you the Pelicans were looking at a very, very similar schedule and an identical schedule in the last 2 days. Just saying.
We got someone on the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Hey, Kyle, you got to realize something. The Lakers just smoked the Jazz the other night at home, went back to Utah, and got smoked in Utah. Mm-hmm. These games against the same team back-to-back are hard to sweep the teams. I don't care if they're 12 wins or what. I mean, they're hard to beat. Two teams, the same team back-to-back at the same time.
Okay.
I would agree, except for the fact that the first night, Zion Williamson busted you up for a bunch of points. The second night, he didn't even play.
Yeah.
And you had all of your players, and they didn't even have that guy.
Also, and thanks for the call, Frank. Appreciate you. The Lakers are 32-20. When the Lakers lose a game like that, it's like, meh.
Yeah.
All right.
They've got a buffer.
Right. The Kings don't. That's why this is a big deal, man. It's not that they lost a game on February 13th to the Pelicans, because the Pelicans weren't going to sit at 12 wins all year. They were gonna win some.
They had lost 10 in a row. Yeah.
And like I said, in a vacuum, losing an NBA game, losing one NBA game is not a huge deal. But when you're where the Kings are, where you have a chance to make it 4 wins in a row, you're playing a very winnable game. You're going into the All-Star break.
They sit their best player that dominates you every time you play them.
It's a good spot for you.
It is.
And it's not that they played terribly. It's that they couldn't get one stop down the stretch against a team with one weapon offensively. And salute to Trey Murphy, but he was not 1 of 9 from 3. Like, that's why this is a big deal. It's not just that they lost. If they were 30, if this loss dropped them to 32-20, we'd be like, meh, all right. Not the way you wanted to end it, but
yeah,
still in a good spot.
Take 32-20 right now.
Oh, my God. let's get to our guy, TC, on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. TC, what's good, bro?
Kyle Hammer, what's going on?
Chilling, what's happening, man?
Oh, man, just vibing. Kind of frustrated with last night, but you know what? So coming off the break, because I got Kings and Niners, but I'm going to go Kings first.
Great.
I think we got to go. I think Doug's going to have a difficult conversation. I know Debo, Hall of Famer and all that, but we're going to have a conversation of who we going to put on the bench and bring in Keon, right? So it might be having a Debo. You're going to have to make a 6-man roll, get the minutes, what you need. We're going to get you covered, brother. We got you, but this is for the betterment of the team. Doug's going to have a one-on-one with – it ain't got to be a team. It could be a one-on-one with Debo.
Yep.
Go holler and have a man-to-man conversation with that guy. Go ahead, Kyle. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just welcome to the island, bro. We're hanging out.
Yeah. We're with you.
Sure. We're with you.
Until you get to your Niners takes, and then we're probably not with you, but go ahead, TC.
Hey, let's check it out. So, look, hey, Kyle and Ham, listen to me. This is a question, a serious question. Brock Purdy and Debo to the Jags for Trevor Lawrence. Yes or no?
No.
Yeah, it's probably a no for me.
Yeah.
I think.
For me, it's a no. Like, you've been waiting for Trevor Lawrence to be the player he should have been for way too long.
Thanks for the call, TC.
Yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence has got off the hook for not being a guy who could lead a team.
It kind of depends. If Brock Purdy's going to make more money than Trevor Lawrence, I think Trevor Lawrence is like $55 million annually.
Yeah.
I'd think about it. This is where it's tough because Trevor Lawrence has way more physical tools than Brock does, like, to be sure. And maybe in Kyle Shanahan's offense, he would just elevate their offense in a way that, Brock can't, which I think is on the table, which is why I'd think about it. But I've also not been super impressed by really anything I've seen Trevor Lawrence do on a consistent basis. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to think about that. That's a really good question. I'm thinking about it.
All right.
I'm not a hard no, but I'm also not a definite yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Debo, like, point of it doesn't really matter to me. Debo's
out.
It's just, you know, Lawrence for Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, you know, Brock Purdy has led a team deep into the playoffs all the way to the Super Bowl. Like, whether or not Trevor Lawrence can do that or not, I don't know. We haven't seen it.
No, but the 49ers would also be by a pretty wide margin the best
of course
team he's ever been on.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like if being in the Niners offense elevates your play, Trevor Lawrence has the physical tools that Brock Purdy does not. And maybe it would elevate him to kind of the player that the Jags were hoping they'd get. And the player that everybody's been thinking Trevor Lawrence is since he won a title as a freshman at Clemson. That's why I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm on the fence. I know that makes for bad radio, but I need to think about it for more than 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
I'll have an answer on Monday. Tuesday. I'm sorry. I'll have an answer for you on Tuesday. We don't have a show Monday.
We don't?
No. President's Day.
These notes I just don't get.
Yeah, I found out via Jesse on air the other day.
memos, all right, man. These memos, they don't come to James's inbox. I don't understand.
Yeah. Where were we? We'll put a pin in the Niners thing. I really need to think about that, though.
Okay.
I think I lean yes, but it depends on Brock's contract. Let me think about it. Okay. Tuesday. We'll discuss that Tuesday. The Timberwolves then played the Thunder.
Okay.
I went, okay. Maybe we can get a Timberwolves loss and stay within striking distance at 7 seed. Nope. Timberwolves 116, Thunder 101. I don't know what to make of the Timberwolves, man. I think their ceiling's just higher than Sacramento's because they play better defense.
Okay.
And that's what sticks out to me. Is I think offensively they're going to be clunky, especially because Julius Randle's just not going to fit. There's nothing to figure out with Julius Randle. He just doesn't fit what they're doing offensively. Jaden McDaniels is a huge question mark on that end of the floor.
Well, Jaden has kind of done exactly what Keegan's done.
Yeah.
He's just like, you put a ball dominant, high usage player next to him on the front line, and he's lost his way. Offensively, I mean, it's tough because I think he's got more potential as an offensive player. And every time I see that team and I see them when they're missing players, he's actually really productive.
He had 21 points last night. Keegan hasn't done since November.
Wow. No, that's true.
November was the last time Keegan Murray scored 20 points in a damn basketball game. That's ridiculous.
I will say this, though, like Jaden McDaniels, 11.5 points, 5.6 rebounds. He's shooting 33.8 from three on 3.8 attempts per game. It's like the Spider-Man meme all over again with him and Keegan Murray.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And how old is Jaden?
24. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's really tough. Like he's in the exact same situation that you're getting with the Kings. And I'd even say a worse situation because Gobert averages 11 points a game, you know? And so, you know, Dante DiVincenzo coming off the bench is 11 points. Like, Keegan Murray's the fifth best scorer on this team at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a bad situation to be in. So,
yeah, I just don't. The Timberwolves are proof positive that you're, at least for me, that your ceiling is higher when you can play defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the modern NBA, you can kind of piece it together offensively. And there's like, you have to have a requisite level of offensive talent. But when you can just go get stops, that is so much more valuable than we got a bunch of dudes who can put the ball in the bucket. Can't get a stop to save our lives, but man, if you need a mid-range jumper.
Got you.
That's just.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Anyways. The Clippers are kind of in the same boat, and they beat the Jazz 120-116 in overtime. First of all, Ben Simmons looked great in his debut.
Of course he did.
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
The Jazz were up 20 in that game. But again, this is where I feel exactly the same about the Clippers as I do about the Timberwolves. They just play really good defense. They have a bunch of rangy athletes, and they can get stops.
Yeah, that, and you're playing a team in the Jazz that has no interest in winning.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
You know, again, the players can win. Good players can score. They can, you know, like exactly what we saw from the Pelicans last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Kings didn't just, you know, like throw the game away. Like, again, CJ McCollum busted them up,
mm-hmm.
right? But when you look at a team like Utah, they have talent. Mm-hmm. It's just that once you get past the first layer of talent, and it, when they want to lose a game, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, let's put in the super young guys for a whole bunch of minutes, mm-hmm. and we'll go ahead and lose without like admitting that we're losing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you look at James Harden, 32, 10, and 7 last night with 3 steals and 2 blocks. Norman Powell had 41. But then Chris Dunn, really good defensive guard. Ivica Zubac, defensive presence underneath. Derek Jones Jr., really good defender. Ben Simmons, 27 minutes off the bench, really good defender.
Yeah.
And distributor and ball handler. They just, they are, I think they're going to be really tough for the Kings to catch in the 6th seed. Especially now that they're, what, 3.5 up?
Yep.
I think.
Going to be tough.
Yeah, it is. All right. Bad night gets worse. Markelle Fultz was active for the Kings and didn't play last night.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something to me that I hadn't given a ton of thought to. Is Devin Carter's rookie season with Sacramento over? We'll talk about that next. And can we figure, it is 2025. Can we get in-arena technology figured out?
Wild.
He's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is there. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We'll take a couple of your calls on the Oak Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. My favorite thing about Joe being here, well, aside from my favorite thing about Joe being here is the positive energy that he radiates.
Well, that Joe is here.
Yeah, right. The vibes are just
we're
up.
We're both big fans here, of Joe.
For sure.
Yep.
But secondly, at the breaks, since I'm not cutting things because I'm usually doing audio stuff, and salute to Joe for doing that for me, I get to go through the chat and actually like interact and hang out.
Yeah.
And I want to get to some of what was said during the break. And again, if you're interested in what happens during breaks, log on to youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and it's just us vibing. We just hang out during the breaks.
Mm-hmm.
But regular Kings fan 916 said, we will see who this team really is the first 5 games after the break. I kind of think we already know. Maybe a switch flips during the break, and there's a massive turnaround, which I think we'll find out like game one if it looks different. But I think we have a deep enough sample size of this team that it's just kind of, this is it.
Okay, so I think that by rearranging the chairs on the deck, you might be able to find something different. Like, my biggest concern with this team is that their defensive rating is just, like, so bad right now. I talked with Damian and Kenny about this. I think it was yesterday. The problem that I see is that, you know, advanced statistics, you can look at them a whole bunch of different ways. But what I usually, I like to look at them as a predictor for what's about to happen, right? Because they're showing you trends over longer stretches of games, and you're hoping that you can pick up on some things that actually make some good sense, right? Even 2 years ago, I kept telling the guys the Kings started the season 0-4, and then they kept plugging away. They weren't like on fire, but I kept telling them, hey, the advanced statistics say this is one of the best offensive teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
There's something missing, and once they figure out what's missing, they'll take off. Mm. And that's exactly what happened, right? So when you're looking at advanced statistics, that's where I always go. It's like, hey, look, there's something that they're telling you. You just have to look like very closely and say, okay, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
Statistics are telling me that this is one of the worst defensive basketball teams I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this version today is one of the worst. Now, you can go in and during a couple of practices, you can tweak some stuff. We talked like the Jake LaRavia thing where he didn't even know that the Kings funnel to the outside, not to mm-hmm. not to the middle, all of these things, right? Like, I think when you're looking at these like the advanced statistics of this team, though, like, there's no way to get around the fact that you don't have good defensive players. and that the players that you brought in, like, sure, Jake LaRavia can help a little bit, but he's playing 12 or 13 minutes a night. Valanciunas, he can help a little bit, but he's playing 12 to 18 minutes a night. The core of your team with, again, a backcourt, a starting backcourt with Monk and Zach LaVine, mm-hmm. those guys are both playing 30 to 35 minutes a night. There's no way to disguise that. There's no way to disguise those two with DeMar DeRozan at the three.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you have three players who are not known for defense at all, now, you know, I saw somebody earlier in the chat say, oh, Domantas Sabonis is a horrible defender. You're absolutely wrong. The only thing he doesn't do is block shots. Mm-hmm. He is a spectacular on-ball defender. Look at the stats. We just saw the stats like 2 days ago. He was the number one post defender in the league. Like,
for all the times teams post up.
Yeah, but they do a lot because they don't think that he has the length to block shots. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the length to block shots. Mm-hmm. So, but that's the problem. Like, when you're building a team, what you don't do is go undersized at every position and go offensive at three key positions where all those guys, if you have three offensive players who mm-hmm. don't really play defense that well, all that means is that Domantas Sabonis is going to foul out of almost every game down the stretch.
Yep.
Like, they're just letting guys go right by, and Domas is the one standing there in the key who takes the brunt of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've seen, whether it's him or Jonas. Like, for the last six games coming into last night, Domantas Sabonis had five fouls or more. Four or six.
That's crazy.
Like, he can't stay on the floor. And it's not because he's just... Does he make some egregious errors? Sure. But there's also these points where he's out there trying to rebound against three dudes because mm-hmm. nobody else is rebounding. Sometimes yeah. Keegan does, but nobody else is. And so you're looking at, like, again, there are these things that we can look at within the advanced statistics that tell me that this is going to be a difficult run down the stretch. And, you know, right now the Kings, over their, like, their last 10, they're 5-5. It's a 119.2 defensive rating and a 113.9 offensive rating. They're negative 5.3. And that's a much better look than it was yesterday when they or 2 days ago when their previous 10 games, they were like a negative 8.5.
Also not going to work.
No, no. The turnovers are up. The assist numbers are down outside of last night's game. Like, these are things that you can look at and say, okay, how do we fix these things? Some of it you can. Some of the improvements can happen on the fly. But a lot of things are just straight up, like, your team is poorly constructed, at least the way that you're running it out there right now.
Yep.
And I don't know that, like, putting Keon Ellis at the two and moving Zach LaVine to the three and DeMar DeRozan off the bench, I don't know if that's going to save everything, but it certainly could help your defense.
You got to try something.
Yeah.
You cannot keep going forward with the rotations as they are.
Yep.
And you cannot keep going forward with whatever team ethos you have that has Keon Ellis playing, is it 22 minutes? 22 minutes last night? 23 minutes last night. In a game where the opposing team's best guard and really only scorer is killing you.
Got it.
I that can't continue to be a thing.
No.
Keon's fewest minutes since February 1st in a 34-point loss to OKC.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there wasn't a reason why he played less last night. I know he got hot a couple of times. He certainly had that exchange with CJ McCollum mm-hmm. and got hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if they didn't pull him and then, like, maybe forget to put him back in at certain points.
Forget to put him back in?
Well, I mean, like, you're just, like, in the flow of the game. You pull a guy out to cool him down, and then it's like, oh, your rotations are mixed up now, and you don't go back. I don't know. All I can tell you is that
Feels like CJ McCollum getting to the rack and hitting threes at will would be a good, like...
Hey...
We need a guy to defend him. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Keon, sorry about that.
Why aren't we playing Keon?
Get in there.
Yeah. Yeah, tough look.
Yeah, that's it's easy. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. Everybody sees it. Let's get to Big E on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Don, what's up?
What up, guys? Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, same to you, brother.
Thanks.
Of course. I just wanted to give both of you all your flowers. I'm going to join you, Kyle, and TC on the island because we got to start Keon. I don't care how. Just get him in there and get him more minutes.
Let's go.
And then to you, James, I've never really watched Zach LaVine, but I know he's a former, like, dunk contest winners, so I'm like super athletic. How bad could he be on defense? And then ever since we got him, I was like, I see what James has been talking about this whole time. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Big E. Appreciate it.
What I like to do is go on the radio and lie to everybody and then get proven wrong repeatedly, because that's good radio.
Yeah. Huh. Just hot take, guys.
Yeah, just hot take. Just hot take all day long.
Yeah, Zach LaVine, like you said this yesterday, there are moments where on ball defense, you're like, oh, nice, slid his feet. Cool.
Yeah.
And then there's other moments where he'll lose a cutter or he won't help or he'll just kind of ole.
Yeah, he pulls a Bulls jersey, a red Bulls jersey out of this thing, goes, ole! Like, hey, look at that. Go ahead and run right by me.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what's happening behind me, Domas, standing there in the key, like, waiting just to get, chilling. You know, pick up another foul. Yeah, it's tough, man. We have a large body of work here.
Yep.
So when you're looking at a player who's been in the league 11 years, and he's a gifted offensive player,
mm-hmm.
but when you look at a player who's been in the league for 11 years, you know exactly who he is when he gets there.
It's a good sample size.
It is.
Let's squeeze Mitch's call in here before we pay some bills. Mitch in New Jersey, what's up, dude?
How's it going? Happy Valentine's Day, guys. Hey, it was nice to talk to Joe.
Yeah, Joe's the best.
He is.
Nice talking. I didn't feel like I was in a penalty box. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Talk to when you dial and someone picks up, you expect to hear somebody talk to you right away. But anyway, thanks. First of all, I'd rather have Sam Darnold than a Jacksonville quarterback.
Oh, okay.
He's more of a bust than Sam. You can't say he's had one really good year. At least Sam's got that on him.
All right.
No, really? And I love their offense. I don't care about defense. But with this drafting and training, They slotted. Everybody seems to be a little short for their position. They get the Keegan and DeMar and even Zach. They're all like 6'6", right? Tops. And that's why Sabonis has to get all the rebounds. He's got to do all the dirty work. You got nobody. You don't have a real power forward.
For sure. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the call.
Oh, he was still going, I thought.
Oh, was he?
I think so. It just faded. It dropped. His audio dropped.
Mitch, my bad, dog. I thought he was done.
Nobody puts Mitch in the corner.
We need a real power forward.
There it is.
I thought that was it.
That's okay. No, you're good, Joe.
I'll take that one, Mitch.
No, he got his point across. Salute to Mitch and salute to Joe.
That's right.
And salute to our friends over at Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, Jiffy Lube wants to show you some serious customer love this month with their February oil change deals that you can find online. Simply visit JiffyLube.com and find a service center near you to see these sweetheart deals on oil changes, wiper blades, and more during the month of February. So drive into savings at JiffyLube.com today and save in the month of February. Happy Valentine's Day from Jiffy Lube.
We'll keep diving into the Kings' loss last night. We'll dive into the first half. What's gone wrong? What's gone right? If anything, I'll do all that next. And All-Star Weekend. Are you looking forward to it? Because I sure am. He's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil, Pushing the Buttons. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on the Insiders. On the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
To the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento Sports Leader.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, the original timeshare cancellation expert. And I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. All you need to do is give my office a call. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free info kit. 800-359-3434. 800-359-3434.
Attention small business owners needing financing. Swish Funding is providing funds for expansion, inventory, increased overhead, even slow cash flow to small businesses all over America with affordable funding as soon as one business day. And we're ready to help with funding from $10,000 to $2 million. If you've been in business for 1 year or more with a monthly income of at least $25,000, you can get the affordable funding you need with no collateral. Go to swishfunding.com today. That's swishfunding.com.
To whom please be concerned.
Tex, what you doing?
I'm writing to the Park Service fellas trying to get us up there on Mount Rushless.
Tex, I think you mean Mount Rushmore?
No, Bubba. Everybody knows Elk Grove Kia makes upgrading to a new Kia for less fast, fun, and easy. Now, that's what I call unprecedented savings.
Get unprecedented savings during our biggest President's Day sales event ever. This week only at Elk Grove Kia. Right now, we want to help you escape from your trade and upgrade to a new Kia for a lot less. Like a new 2025 Sportage X-Line plug-in hybrid SUV, just $259 per month. Worried about your credit? Our lenders will push hard to get you approved, even if it's less than perfect. Get pre-approved at ElkGroveKia.com. Get huge savings this week, only at Elk Grove Kia in the Elk Grove Auto Mall.
Or check us out on the interweb at Elk.